Friday, it must be London, that's just about where I am now. Because having chugged around the country for the last week in the train powered by biodiesel made from used cooking oil, I finally got here. But interestingly, during the week, it has been fascinating to see what intriguing initiatives there are all around this country. That's really been half the battle, I think, about this particular exercise of start, is to highlight the really worthwhile projects that are going on. And as you can imagine, perhaps, it, when we first thought of this, my original idea about 4 years ago was to see if we could possibly emulate the sort of things that my great-great-great-grandfather, Prince Albert, had done in 1851 exhibition, which, of course, was to show people then what was going on, what opportunities there were at the very height of the Industrial Revolution. And it's extraordinary to think that 6 million people turned up at that exhibition. And that was in 1851. How the hell did they get there? And the railways were, I suppose, roughly in their infancy, to say the least. So all of you discussing transport, I think you probably might find that an interesting subject. But many people came back again, twice, from what I gather. But it seemed to me that if we could do something along those lines, which would help people to understand what possibilities there were, what opportunities there were in this whole effort to find a way of living in a more sustainable way, of creating a low carbon economy, of creating ever greater energy efficiency, and so on and so forth, and reconnecting ourselves with nature once again, instead of kicking her to one side and suppressing her and saying, we are separate from nature and she is separate from us, instead of understanding that we're actually part of it in an integral way. The great thing, I think, is to enable people to see what possibilities there are. A sort of glorified ideal home exhibition. And up to now, it's probably something you've known to your cost through Business in the Community and the May Day initiative which we started. Much of the effort has been on a business-to-business basis, which is meant that we now have 2,600 companies that are part of the May Day network, and that is making a substantial difference as a result of the remarkable work done by many of these companies who have started looking at many of these issues in detail, getting their clever and innovative people to investigate more carefully, and as Marks and Spencer's have found out, with their particular initiative, Plan A, it's actually saved them a huge amount of money and made money on top of it. Surprise, surprise. So much of the work has been business to business. What seemed to me important was to have a public-facing exercise this time, where the customer, the consumer, members of the public could actually discover, to their amazement, what is possible out there. And interestingly today, going round the three gardens, all sorts of people were coming up and saying, God, it's marvellous this, you know, are you going to do it again? I said, well, it's very good of you to turn up, because you know, there might have been nobody here after all that. But you never know. If it is successful at the end, then obviously we should have to look at it. But whether the sponsors find that something worth doing, I don't know. I particularly wanted, actually, today, before I forget, to express warmest possible thanks to all the startup partner companies, particularly, of course, to IBM, who've been fantastic and are now going to have another 9 days of discussions, of workshops, and seminars, which is very encouraging. And I hope that in itself will provide food for thought, enable people to network a bit more, and all sorts of integrated, joined-up opportunities to be examined. So IBM and BT, everywhere I've gone this week, I bumped into more BT people than you'd believe possible. And I made a Freudian slip earlier, thinking I was in another BT gathering to say I was IBM. And also huge thanks to EDF, M&S, Waitrose, Asda, your water companies, which is of course all the water companies together, which is terrific, Addison Lee, Virgin Money, and I don't know whether you've seen Virgin Money's trees where you can make a pledge, but all sorts of people seem to be doing that, and B&Q, of course, who I think their marketing department has been brilliant this time, come up with wonderful ideas. You can see they've had such fun making sheep out of thermo fleece and climbing up ladders in the garden of Clive's house. And all the others who've taken part, I'm hugely grateful to them. And all the people who come along with their little stands and the exhibits. I was particularly insistent that the people who make woolen coffins should be there. Because I started a wool campaign earlier this year to try and remind people of the absolute vital importance of renewable materials like wool. Because what seemed to me insane was that we were reaching a situation, can you believe this, where wool was worth nothing, basically. People were basically throwing it away, farmers. And when I discovered that they were now breeding a new breed of sheep called Easy Care. It's true. You don't have to be sure. It just drops out. Probably my trousers from right here together to make wonderful bags, and they give them away because she got fed up with seeing plastic bags floating past her canal boat, or wherever she is. How is it? Exactly the same thing. I thought, enough. She's crazy. Partially, it's the epitome of the way in which we have grown to look at the world. That in fact, we ignore all the amazing. And when you think about it, nature's had, 3.5 billion years, I suppose, of research and development to produce probably the most remarkably efficient economy, nature's economy, that you could ever. It doesn't waste it. It produces endlessly virtuous circles. Now, we've been operating, if you think about it, for the last, 200 years probably, on an emphasis which tries to do exactly the opposite. Ignores nature, as I was saying, pushes it into the background, and tries to do everything cleverly our way. Well, what I'm saying, I've been trying to say, is unless we rediscover the need to work in harmony with nature's economy, processes, ingenuity, waste-free capacity, we will continue to create ever greater chaos and dysfunction within the natural systems, the ecosystems, which are all under threat all around the world. We can't go on, it seems to me, putting endless pressure on ever-dwindling resources. So one of the great things I think, which is so intriguing, is the development now in the form of biomimicry. And if you could talk to people about biomimicry, they have no idea what you're talking about. But this is a new development which puts nature at the heart of the way in which you develop new technologies. By looking for, this is a wonderful man I heard about the other day, who'd been fascinated for years, like many of us, in the way the bath water runs out of the bath plug. And finally he freeze-dried the whirlpool effect. And he's managed from that to produce a highly efficient small pump. And there are endless other stories about this, examining nature's processes in minute detail and producing really effective technology that mimics the way nature works. All these things, I think, are of enormous importance. And this is one of the reasons I've been so keen to initiate this START process. So I'm very grateful for those who have joined in, seen the point of it. As you can imagine, it's been quite a risk to set up START. This is nearly finished off. Poor Tom Shapier, who was brave enough to take this on. And when you do these things, you think, is anybody going to turn up, as I was saying? But But I tell people that I take too many risks, but I'm perfectly prepared to take any risk, I can assure you, on behalf of our children. At the end of the day, that's the point, really, I think, about all this, is that we have to take further risks in order to develop the kind of approach to the world around us, to the way we live, which can ensure that what we leave behind is durable and not just an appalling poison chalice to those who come after us, which at the moment is what we're likely to do if we don't really take these issues seriously. So yesterday I was asked questions by the Daybreak, who breakfasted a little program about all this, and they've been covering the week, which they kind of, and they were asking me about some of these aspects of this whole campaign, but I was trying to explain that at the end of the day, it is absolutely crucial that we pay attention to these issues, because they were saying, what about the skeptics? I said, well, absolutely, but surely, if you think about it, taking a precaution, common sense view, might be a good thing to do. And if you happen to visit, which I strongly recommend anybody to do, the British Antarctic Survey offices in Cambridge, you will see the ice core samples that they've taken from the Antarctic, which have gone down to a depth roughly equivalent to nearly 1 million years. And when they plot a graph of the atmospheric CO2 that's contained in the bubbles within the ice core, so going back all those years, you actually see how there is, on the whole, a relatively stable form of oscillation over that long period of time, until suddenly you get to the 18th century and the start of the Industrial Revolution. And then, rivetingly, it starts to rise, and then it becomes very much more exponential, as you can imagine, nearer to our time now. So, people say there's no science in climate change. To me, it seems, I'm not quite sure which planet they're living on. But ladies and gentlemen, the important thing is, this is the only planet at the moment we know about, that we can inhabit. It does seem pretty damn stupid to me to wreck it for the future. So, I'm enormously grateful to you all for taking an interest. And after all, Britain, with her great history, her ingenuity, all her extraordinarily innovative and inventive people here, many of whom, if you read the history, have been disregarded and accused of being idiots and eccentrics. There are an awful lot of marvellous people here who can contribute hugely to a new form of sustainability revolution, and provide huge opportunities. So that is what I hope the START project will achieve.